D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you, talking Diego Pavia's appearance on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast. We heard him take aim at Tennessee. He also had some other interesting things to say. He was asked about outside interest in his services following his breakout season with the Vanderbilt Commodores. Here's what Pavia said about that.
Were you ever flirting with the idea of leaving Vanderbilt?
No, I never flirted with it.
Maybe for a moment.
One moment. You saw the number and you're like,
I mean, the number is great. Like, the numbers are great, but like, winning is more important to me than anything. And we got the squad to go do it.
When you're breaking it down with your agent or whoever your representation is, or you're talking with the coaches, how uncomfortable does it get at times? Like, you might hear the rumors of $4 million, and it's like, you know, we're all in the game of business a little bit more now. And it's like, you want to leverage the number. How much should I try and leverage the number and get to a spot that I feel comfortable? I don't want to piss anybody off. Like, how's that going for you mentally when you are in that process of potentially, you know, them feeling like you could potentially leave?
Right. It was difficult for sure, because, like, you got Coach Kill and Coach Beck, like, relying on you to come back. But it's, like, all a money game. And then, like, you got other schools offering you $4 million, and they don't want to pay you $4 million, but you're like, all right, but, like, you took a chance on me. So, like, I understand that. And then I was gonna say something too, like, they told me the things that I wanted to hear of how they're gonna build the offense, you know, what receivers we're gonna go get, and they were telling me, like, we could pay you that, but we are not gonna have enough money to go get these guys to go throw the ball around.
Yeah.
And it just made sense to me, like, man, I value winning over anything else. So
that was Diego Pavia. And another clip, Taylor Lewan asked him about offers he may have received from other teams to transfer out of Vanderbilt. And Pavio said that most of the communication wasn't going through him. It was going through his family. But he had heard a $4 to $4.5 million number. He mentioned it was from another SEC school. Then he also took some pot shots at the Big Ten. Sorry, Derek.
Yeah, I did. I know.
But you know what I heard as a theme that ran through that answer was, he felt a loyalty to Vanderbilt, for they gave him the shot. They believed in him. And, of course, they brought his infrastructure and coaching staff. That's kind of how it all began. Pavia was a little bit, if I remember correctly, a little bit of the afterthought of, this is the offense that I think would be the right offense for Vanderbilt in this league with how we have to go about it. And they were like, you know, we got this guy, Pavia. You might ought to take a look at this guy. And they were like, well, we already got this quarterback from Utah. He's coming in. They were like, just take Diego. They were like, well, we've already had spring practice and everything. No, just trust me. Mm-hmm. Bring Diego in here and just see. And we know what happened, right? But I do think there are a lot of kids that would just hear the, well, I can get paid more over here, so forget about all the other stuff. I'm just going over here. Mm-hmm. But Diego Pavia had some force, some gravitational, this is kind of where it all happened for me, so let's try to make it happen here.
Yeah,
and leave.
Again, in listening to Bussin' with the Boys, it was long, but it was good.
That's usually how
how it is. Exactly.
They don't really have a stopwatch. Exactly. Somebody just keeps going. Time to roll.
But it's a really good, the interview with Diego Pavia is really good.
They make their guests comfortable.
Exactly. They make them comfortable.
Right. They're just shooting the breeze.
And he was allowed to open up.
Yes.
And, you know, it's, I think what Pavia understands now is that, listen, when I was making, because he went through the whole story of him, you know, committing to Nevada and Coach Kill retiring and all of this stuff that was going on. And then, you know, he calls Vandy and tell Vandy, listen, I'm going to Nevada. Thank you for everything. And they're like, hold on. Coach Kill calls him. All of a sudden, now he's flipping and going to Vandy because Coach Kill's there. So there's a sense of loyalty to him. And that's good. You wish more people, period. Coaches and players, in especially in college, have more loyalty and not move by every dollar that someone is offering you. But he showed a sense of loyalty to Vanderbilt. And I'm sure, you know, Vandy could have offered him whatever and he could have taken it. But his thought pattern, what it seems to be is, listen, I may not make the NFL. That may not be the end goal here. The end goal just may be, as we're speaking right now, is to make this program, once I leave, better than when I got it here. And hopefully by my energy and everything else, it sort of filters through these younger guys that are here. And when I leave, they can take that and they can continue to run with it along with Clark Lea. I think that was one of the reasons why he want to build something here. And yeah, he probably could have got money from somewhere else, but maybe he wouldn't have been as productive in a different type of offense that he is in this offense. Even though we know there has to be some wrinkles, he has to evolve as a player and develop, but he understands, like, I want to leave something that people will talk about, you know, 15, 20 years from now when I'm wherever doing whatever I'm doing.
I think that's a huge thing, is he has bought into, I want to be the reason that this program is perceived differently.
Exactly.
Like and not a lot of kids are wired like that.
No.
Clark Lea, if you remember, when he took the job, said, I want to make this the most attractive and best all-around program in the country. And everybody was like, what is he talking about? Was he smoking something? What's the deal? Like, he was really ridiculed. But he was really talking from a sincere standpoint. He really believes that they can make something special out of the program with Nashville, with the uniqueness of Vanderbilt, using what has been perceived as weaknesses and barriers and turn those things into strengths. And, heck, they have taken a big step forward there. But sustaining it is important. And if Diego Pavia had just bolted, then that's a big step back.
That's right? Your program takes
you
a step
back. You want to
back.
Be a program that's magnetic and is attracting players.
If your
and
best
not,
player, your leader leaves.
Right. And that's what happened the year before, is all of their best players, not all of them, but a lot of them, a lot of really good players that were freshmen, sophomore, they were like, I love Coach Lea. I like it's a great school, but I just don't want to get my butt kicked week in and week out. That's no fun. I don't think we can win. I'm out.
Yeah.
And that is, you're repelling good players. Good players are saying, I'll use Vanderbilt for stepping stones somewhere else. If you can flip it, and this is what Pavia is trying to help with, if you can attract good players, like, hey, I'd like to go, that looks like a cool place to play. Hey, they won some games. They beat Alabama last year. Now I'm gravitating that way. That would be a huge thing. So I also am curious about this. When Pavia is done, if he's not an NFL guy, is that a guy that Clark Lea says, even now, like, hey, look, if it doesn't work out, I mean, go play pro, go play UFL, go make your dream happen. But when it's over,
come back.
We want you to back because you're a lightning rod. You're a guy that is bringing, you're getting attention to us. We want you an ambassador. We want you a part of this thing.
Well, let me ask you this question, Willie.
That's what I would do.
You have, of course, an encyclopedic knowledge of Vanderbilt athletics. How many players in the history of Vanderbilt athletics have had the personality, the magnetism of Diego Pavia?
I don't know that there's ever been a guy quite like him personality-wise. I do think they've had a few magnetic players that have helped flip the tides, right? I would say Will Perdue would be one. Billy McCaffrey in basketball was one that just gravitated people. I think some guys who really turned the tables for Tim Corbin would be Pedro Alvarez, David Price. Those were two guys that all of a sudden, like, wow, they started attracting other good players there. I think that's a little bit. Personality-wise, I don't know if anybody's been quite wired like him. In football, I don't know that they've had that guy, right?
And I think I think that's great for Vanderbilt.
I'm talking. I thought of some for the other sports, but I don't know that I can think of another football.
Not
player
like that, that no. Not like Diego has been.
Yeah.
At least now, James not since
Franklin,
I've been here.
James Franklin alone had some of that as but the there coach. Was some, there's only so much that the coach can
but
do.
But I think there were some people
just
that
just willed it to happen. He just kept pounding it in your head. We're going to be good. We're going to find a way. We're going to attract good players. But you kind of need – when the players have that magnetism, that, I think, strengthens it even more. That's a new level.
But does it – it almost sounds, at least what I gathered as it continued with Coach Franklin, it almost got to a point where people were like, it wasn't like Diego, where I think his is infectious. Like, people want – yeah, people wanted to gravitate to Franklin, but after a while, it was like, okay, what is he really doing? Like, not I'm talking about the fans. About, like,
I think the Vanderbilt people were
because they were
in.
Like they knew he was leaving. Like, eventually, you knew he was gone. Like, this was just a true stepping stone.
But they
for
had
him.
Not had that level of success in so long. They were starved for that, so they were they were lapping it up while he was there. It was great. It was 3 years, not a huge window, but to win 9 games 2 years in a row. That was like, hey, man, this is amazing compared to before.
And Vanderbilt, at the beginning of last season.
Beating Tennessee.
They, you
yes.
know, beating Florida. At the beginning of last season, right?
Beating hey
Georgia.
Days. Hey yeah. days.
They pull off the upset. I would call it an upset. Against Virginia Tech at home in overtime.
Yeah.
You know, they go to Georgia State and lose. They lose a double overtime game to Missouri. They're 2-2 on the season. They pull off the win against Alabama, and as Hutton was talking about, that following game against Kentucky was ripe for a letdown. They were the talk of college football. Diego Pavia was all over the place. Clark Lee was doing a ton of interviews. But they win that important road game at Kentucky to go to 4-2, and it felt like they've got something here. And I'm looking at Vanderbilt's football schedule next season. They have to go to Virginia Tech early this season after they hosted Virginia Tech last season. They're at Alabama. They're at Texas. They're at Tennessee. They've got some really tough games. And I'm curious to what you two were talking about now that the league sort of has, quote unquote, figured out Diego Pavia. They have the tape. I'm curious how he and the Commodores respond next season. But if you are a Vanderbilt football fan, you've dealt with a lot of lean years. And Pavia is the type of player, again, to use the term, he's magnetic. He is the type of player that if you are not paying attention to Vanderbilt football, he alone can get you to pay attention to Vanderbilt football.
And at the same time, I'm cautious because...
Here comes Coach Willie.
Coach Willie's coming out, and I've seen Vanderbilt have good seasons and then come back with where it looks like a good team, but the league is so tough, the schedule's so tough, you could play well, but... have some things not quite go right, injuries, et cetera. And you're like, man, we got a pretty good team, but the record ends up being 5-7 or something like that. I could see that happening. I will say that last year, the schedule was, if you did all the metrics of it, it was in the top 10, I think, of the toughest schedules in the nation, right? Mm-hmm. And so I would look forward to probably be in that same realm this year, just what you said. It's the same teams. It's just flipped of where the game is played. So I think it took a lot for them to get to 6-6, right? Especially with the one screw up that they had when they lost to Georgia State.
They had two screw ups, really.
Well, that was the one that they absolutely should have won.
Are you considering Missouri the other screw
up?
Well, but that was a really good team, though.
Yes.
And that's on the road. What was Missouri? Missouri was ranked at the time.
Yeah,
I mean they had a chance.
They
to
were
win
the
that
seventh
game.
Team in the country at the time.
Yeah, so we're talking about screwing up a game against number 7 like that. That's different than screwing up against Georgia State. Mm-hmm. With all due respect, against Georgia State, but they a lot. What's Auburn going to look like? What's Virginia Tech going to look like? I don't know. And is Vanderbilt going to be a more talented team this year? That's a fair question. I hope the answer is yes. You could be better, though, and still end up 5-7. I've seen it happen.
615-737-1025. Your thoughts on Diego Pavia, his interview with Bussin with the Boys. Again, Will Compton and Taylor Lewan do a really good job because they're just boys, right? They're just You're bussing with the boys. You're shooting the breeze.
The boys.
The boys. The dad hat thing I don't ever understand with Taylor Lewan. I'm not going to pretend to understand that. 615-737-1025. But coming up next, I want to say there was a DVD group text record yesterday from the time we left the station until the time one of us chimed in about something that we had been hearing on the show right after ours. Derek set that record yesterday, and we'll discuss that next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game.
And I recognize that Cam Ward and Will Levis are two separate people. But the I've got my own show is kind of the same as Levis's commercial last year. Again, I think they are completely analogous. And at the same time, with both Levis and with Cam Ward, they haven't made it yet. This time last year, Titan fans were telling me, again, this was the summer of Let Rand Cook, Titans fans were telling me, he drafted a franchise quarterback who was the laughingstock of the NFL by week two. Cam hasn't made it yet. I hope Cam makes it. That's my team. But Cam, I'm sorry. Cam has not made it, and having your own documentary kind of feels like, hey, look, I've made it.
That was Jared Stillman yesterday, and as I was saying before the break, so the four of us, Willie,
yes,
Derek, myself, and David, we have a group text to plan the show and our guests and all of those things. So yesterday I get in the car, I turn right out of the parking lot, head down Murfreesboro Pike, and I hadn't even hit Briley Parkway when I get a text from Derek Mason. Are you hearing what Jared's talking about? And I think this may have been an all-time record.
I didn't put an exclamation mark at the end.
No, I'm exaggerating a little bit.
This is period.
But I know.
You were too excited, but you just like, did y'all hear this?
Yeah, did y'all
perhaps you were saying? Perhaps you were a bit more muted than I am than I am saying. But I know that, Derek Mason, you want to respond to what you heard from Jared yesterday, so take it away.
Yeah, and because I listened to the whole thing yesterday, and you know, at first I was like, you know, I wanted to turn the radio off and just start texting Jared, but I couldn't do that. I said, let me listen to everything that he has to say. And as I started to listen to it more, I started to say, okay, all right, I wonder, is this just because the time of year we were in? Or does he really feel, because he went on to talk about, you know, this may be in a sense a red flag to him, you know, along with, and he mentioned something about, you know, throwing an interception in OTAs. So the whole docuseries thing, you want to try to compare it to Will Levis. And I'm gonna say this: there's no comparison. It really isn't, because one guy sought it out and put it in everybody's face. The other guy didn't put it in everybody's face. He didn't get on, you know, in the interviews, at least not to my knowledge, and say, "Hey, I got a 6-part docuseries coming out. Everybody, make sure y'all watch it." That's not what he did. Will Levis brought his cologne into a presser.
Yep.
He brought it into the building. And I'm not, listen, he's doing what he felt at the time he needed to do, and he probably regrets it. And I'm not getting no Will Levis for that. We've already litigated that. And I'm sure Will Levis, if he had to do it over again, he would not do that. I get that part. But to try to attach these two things together, to me, you're stretched. It's a stretch, man. It really is. Because, again, one guy promoted it. The other guy didn't. Before this docuseries came out, Jared, you were saying, hey, listen, it seems like he has all the right stuff going on. He's saying all the right things. He's doing all the right things. Even on the football field. In practice, OTAs. I know it's OTAs, but it seems like he's doing all the right things. But all of a sudden now, we all get wind of a docuseries, which I'm sure some of it was already, you know, taped, and some of it, a lot of it probably was, you know, film that they got from his high school and the three colleges he went to.
The story mentions the Variety story.
Exactly.
Where the news broke. Mentions mm-hmm. a lot of archival footage.
Exactly. So with archival footage, you don't need to spend your time as a player, Cam Ward. He doesn't need to spend his time with them. They're going to go around. They're going to get all the information that they need and put it all together. And then there will be a point where they're going to follow him around while he's working out. They're going to ask him questions. But before we knew all of this, everything that Cam Ward said and did on the field, albeit brief and really in the big scheme of things, it's not going to matter a hell of beans if the Titans aren't doing well. But from what he has done and said, it's been all the right things. But not all of a sudden, there's this docuseries. What if the NFL had did this docuseries on Cam Ward? What if the NFL said, you know what? We're going to do a docuseries on the first pick in the NFL draft. And we're going to do it the same way I think it's like the 1558. I need to get the correct name for the company that is doing this.
I think part of Jared's argument.
Yeah, 1558.
I think part of Jared's argument was, this thing is on Tubi.
It doesn't matter.
It's not on Hulu. Listen, it's not on ESPN+.
It doesn't matter.
It's on Tubi.
It doesn't matter whether it's on Tubi, ESPN+. Listen, if Cam Ward has a rookie MVP or rookie of the year type season, that same Tubi video will be on Netflix. Best believe that. It will be on Apple. Best believe that. Right now, it's on Tubi, and there's nothing wrong with Tubi. Your ass ain't got one on Tubi. Seriously. Like, neither one of us got one on Tubi. I wasn't that good enough to have one on. I wasn't drafted in the first round, first overall to have a docuseries on any platform. Now, if you want to do it on my story, yes, you can. My career, yes. But to try to frame this as this is a red flag thing, I think is a little bit of a stretch, Jared.
Can we say that the summer is the time of stretching?
Yeah, and I get that
part. Especially when it comes to material for football, and especially with Jared, the way he does his show, mm-hmm. this is when I think he is provocative and he is prone to do these things. And I do think it's a stretch. However, I am going to say this about Jared. The point that I think he's making, that he stretched, mm-hmm. like, the three of us are together. None of us have to talk for 12 straight minutes, right? He's yeah. a single guy. I'm not saying the structure of the shows are different, right? We're more discussion. He is a monologue guy. Mm-hmm. But the theme, I think, is a good discussion. That is, when you have our version of this last week was trying to resist. Overhyping him before mm-hmm. he has played is a difficult thing to resist. Probably for Cam Ward, and because people are coming to Cam Ward and go, hey, man, you're the first pick in the draft. Let's do a documentary on mm-hmm. you. It's hard for him to say no to that. Mm-hmm. It's not like he went out and sought, hey, will you guys put some episodes of me on Tubi? Can we hire a crew? Mm-hmm. They come to him. Mm-hmm. I think,
as long as it doesn't take me out of my normal regimen of doing things, then okay, y'all can follow me around, y'all can video whatever y'all need to video, but I'm working.
But I am of the belief that it is better to under promise and over deliver than get the hype train moving.
But this has nothing to do with the Titans. This is not something that the Titans put together. So the Titans are they're a separate entity right
now.
But
I don't know if the fans can tell the difference.
The fans can tell the difference unless you have somebody that's egging it on to try to push a narrative, and then the fans think, well, maybe, yeah, you are right. But this company has nothing to do with what the Tennessee Titans or the NFL is going to do. I'm sure they're going to, if they want any NFL footage, they're going to have to get permission from the NFL in order to use that footage. So
the other example that Jared has used in the past is the whole, can I wear number one? Mm-hmm. He got permission. He went about it the right way. But what would you call it? The gumption mm-hmm. to say, hey, this number's retired, but I would like to wear it. Mm-hmm.
So he should be scared to ask for.
It's a fair concern. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to be a problem ultimately with what we've seen about Cam Ward. I think the work ethic, all of the things that he has shown, I think is okay. But I think it's a fair thing to say. Look, We have seen quarterbacks get burned because they are hyped a little too much before they deliver. And
but
Will
the Titans
Levis
are not hyping them. The Titans aren't hyping them like this.
It's different. It's different than the Levis thing.
But Will Levis is the prime example of how it could go absolutely wrong.
Yes.
Yes.
It like there is no other way.
And Amy Adams was the one that hyped him up. She put in the press release after they fired Mike Vrabel, "We have a great young quarterback."
Yeah.
No, you didn't. We didn't know that.
He's young, yeah.
He's young. He had a couple of good games.
Yeah, but great as a stretch.
She oversold him, no question.
I understand, and this is not unique to Will Levis or Cam Ward. When a young player breaks into the NFL, they're the flavor of the month, the new kid on the block, whatever cliche you want to use, people want a piece of them. And Will Levis, he has the mayonnaise cologne. We talked about the mayonnaise cologne. Hey, isn't that funny? This mayonnaise cologne, it's sold out. We can't even get a bottle of it if we tried. And then he has the season he has, and while he's playing poorly or not playing at all, these commercials are still airing. Mm-hmm. And it's not a good look. So the Titans have been scarred by this just 1 year ago. I don't see the same thread between Will Levis doing a mayonnaise commercial versus Cam Ward participating in a docuseries. I'm mostly understanding the point Jared is trying to make. I would also agree that it's a bit of a stretch. But he is, as a Titans fan, as we know, he is concerned that the Titans are, to use his term, gassing up Cam Ward the same way they gassed up Will Levis.
How? Tell me how.
You'll have to ask him when he comes on coming up next.
And my thing, okay, the Titans have nothing to do with the Tubi thing. Nothing to do with the docuseries. That's not – the Titans didn't – at least
that's
not,
the stretch.
At least not to my knowledge.
I think that's a fair point by you, Derek.
Hey, listen, we want you to, you know, get with Tubi and 1558, who helps the NIL with your – you know, with Cam. We want all y'all to get together, and we want all y'all to do a docuseries on Cam Ward – featuring, you know, the docuseries featuring Cam Ward and the Tennessee Titans and his rise from being a zero star to now the first pick in the NFL draft. Titans had nothing to do with that. So, again, it's a stretch to try to connect the two. And then he brought up what sort of it was like, come on, now you're really stretching. He brought up J.J. Watt. Brady.
He brought up, I think, Tim Tebow.
Tebow. The difference between those people. The difference between those guys. They wasn't the first pick in the NFL draft. Watt ended up being a Hall of Fame player, and we know what Tom is. But they didn't start off like that. Cam Ward starts off as the number one pick. To my recent knowledge, there hasn't been a guy that went from zero star, I could be wrong here, as a quarterback, zero star to the number one pick in the NFL draft. That is a story.
It's never happened because 24/7 Sports has a composite ranking. And then the history of their composite rankings, which I think goes back at least 25 years, it's never happened.
It's worthy of a documentary.
Exactly. There's no question about it. Even if he never does well, if he doesn't do well as an NFL quarterback, it's still a great accomplishment.
The thing that I think is important is that maybe, possibly, and Jared mentioned this in the clip we played, maybe, possibly, Will Levis and Cam Ward are two totally different people. And I always felt that Will Levis's confidence, it kind of felt like a put on. Like, look at me. I'm confident. I'll show you guys. Look at me. Hey. It always felt like a bit manufactured. Cam Ward, to me, comes off as naturally confident. Now, I don't want to get into the whole 10 out of 10 thing because that's another can of worms with Jared. And by the way, Jared might be a little feisty considering that his Cardinals are down 5-0 in the bottom of the first to the Chanticleers of Coastal Carolina.
Yeah. It reminds me of when Louisville's basketball team, we had Jared talking to us on the show.
Yes, when we were at Boom Boss for the NCAA tournament when Louisville was getting crushed by Creighton. Yeah. So we'll see how Jared is. But maybe, just maybe, mm-hmm. Cam Ward and Will Levis are two totally different people. And because what happened to Will Levis happened – doesn't mean the same thing's going to happen to Cam Ward.
And listen, Cam Ward, if he doesn't succeed,
it's actually now 6-0.
If he doesn't succeed, it's not because he did a docuseries. Okay, before you found out about this docuseries, I think you had, you know, a sort of perception of Cam Ward, of okay, the kid, from everything that I've seen. And if you didn't have this perception, then when you come on, you need to tell me. But before the docuseries, you thought, oh, okay. This kid seemed to be saying all the right things. He seemed to be doing all the right things. He seemed to be about ball. So, I mean, I guess, you know, once we get into camp and ultimately into the season, we'll really see what it's all about. But now, all of a sudden, you've got wind, and everybody else, again, has gotten wind of this docuseries. I don't understand why that now all of a sudden changes your narrative on how you see Cam Ward. Again, if he doesn't succeed, Jared, it's not because of a docuseries, okay? It's not because he thinks he's entitled to something. Cam Ward comes off as a guy that doesn't think he's entitled to something. You know, he's a guy that had to work for everything. And when you have to work for everything, you're not at, you don't get in a position of, oh, I feel entitled. So again, I understand, hey, you got to prove it and all this other stuff. I get that. But we know in the world of sports nowadays, you know, things are done, NIL, docuseries. It's not done on what you will do in the future. It's done on what you have done and what they hope you do, not what they've seen you do.
By the way, according to 24/7 Sports, this was written before the NFL draft. Should the Titans pull the trigger on Cam Ward at number one, he would be the first zero-star recruit in the 24/7 Sports composite to go number one overall in the modern recruiting era, which is since 2000.
So that is worthy to have, you know. And again, I don't know how long these docuseries are.
Six parts. Doesn't need to be six parts.
No. What I'm saying is within the six parts, how long are. Like 30 minutes long?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, something like that. So no one knows except the people that actually put it together. And maybe they don't know because they haven't, you know, packaged this down and edited everything else. But they know it's going to be a six-part series. But even with all of that, man, it just, to me, sometimes some things need to just be, you know, left alone. Some things like that need to be left alone, because under any other circumstance, we wouldn't be, if we were in September, October, November, and Jared said he's not watching it because it'd be in football season. I get it. I understand. He made a good point. He will have a 17-part series.
Yes.
And hopefully more than that during the season. So, Jared, you were right about that. But it comes out of September. I mean, even if he's doing, we're not going to talk much about it. You know, it's not going to be a focal point. So is the focal point now because there's not much out there? Or do you really believe that, and I can ask him, do you really believe that, oh, this is a warning sign, or this is this ominous thing, like, ooh, we better watch out for that. Look at that. He got a docuseries. He threw an interception in OTAs. He said 10 out of 10, we need to watch out for this. No, man, not at all.
615-737-1025. We will have Jared Stillman coming up next. The Coastal Carolina Chanticleers. Is it Chanticleers? Chanticleers? They are up 6-0 on Louisville.
I think it's the Chanticleers.
It's the Chanticleers. It's a fierce-looking rooster.
And yeah. if they can pull this off, and of course, they've got two games to win one. Louisville has to sweep a doubleheader. Coastal Carolina is one win away from the final. Coastal Carolina, who won it all in 2016, so this is not their first deep run. Mm-hmm. But it would be a really compelling matchup. Coastal Carolina versus a very, very heavyweight team, either LSU or Arkansas, in the final. That would be some big drama. It would be a big drama for Louisville, too, but Coastal Carolina, of course, the non-Power 4 conference, that would
be huge for them.
Pretty big drama to watch.
615-737-1025. Jared Stillman coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, the game.
Gross.
D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025-1063, the game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. Derek Mason with some strong feelings about Louisville's baseball uniforms.
Yeah. Those things are atrocious. I just looked at them. Bad. I'm like, oh, those are
and
ugly.
But I'm biased because every time they wear those, they've beaten Vanderbilt. So I doubly don't like it, but I don't think it's a good look. Louisville's got really good possibilities with the combination. They have some really good base players. They wore the all black ones. I'm not a big fan of those either. I really like a lot of their uniform combos, but those two in particular, I'm like, ugh.
Let's bring in our favorite Louisville Cardinal, that being Jared Stillman. So Jared, you heard Derek respond to your take on Cam Ward in his docuseries. Your response to his response.
Well, first of all, I want you guys to know that I do fancy myself as an expert on the Louisville baseball uniforms.
They're ugly,
and
Jared.
I could go hour on hour on hour on how disgraceful I think some of the uniforms that we wear are.
What do you think
so
about tonight?
So much the fact that, oh, I think they're horrible.
Yes.
So I think they're those, like, knockoff Houston Astro uniforms, right, which were cool when the Astros wore them in the 80s. It's not exactly cool when you're not the Astros to wear them in the 2020s. I have taken my complaints to the top. I mean, I have told the athletic director that if Under Armour came to me and said, hey, we want to make an investment in Louisville, Jared, and we want you, I say, whatever you do, just make sure that they wear regular uniforms, football, basketball, baseball. I'm not saying, you know, Charlie Strong, when he was the Louisville football coach, wouldn't let him wear black uniforms at home. I'm not saying that. We can wear black uniforms, but we don't need crazy pants, and we don't need these, like, wing logos in the shoulders or whatever. Like, just a red Louisville, a white Louisville, a black Louisville. And to Willie's point about the pants, if I became president of the United States, and I really at this point have no idea what the executive powers are or aren't, but on day one, there would be an executive order banning all colored baseball pants that are not white or gray. Now, they may have a pinstripe, that is allowed, but that are not primarily white or gray. The road team must wear gray. The home team must wear white. And I would be banning the City Connect jerseys in Major League Baseball as well. But I could go on about this all month, and I'm sure not many people care that much. Just saying.
I'm out on the City Connect as well. Get rid of the City Connect jerseys.
I mean, I was watching SportsCenter the other day.
They're all awful.
I watched SportsCenter the other day, and they had the Giants and the Dodgers, and I don't know what the hell the Dodgers were wearing. Then after that, it's the Yankees and the Red Sox, and the Red Sox are dressed like the Ukrainian flag. Right. And I don't know what the hell that's about. I mean,
it's the marathon. It's the marathon thing.
Last time I checked, the Red Sox wore red.
Yeah.
You know, that drove me. And then they had the Mets playing the Rays, and these Mets uniforms look like a prison uniform. Like, what am I doing? What am I watching here?
Were they orange jumpsuits?
No, it's the purple and gray and the, I don't know, it's not
terrible.
Good.
We could go
terrible.
Down.
Derek's response. My yes. response to Derek on the Cam Ward thing. Look. I'm fine with guys doing documentaries. Cam Ward wouldn't be the first one. He's done nothing, and I mean nothing in the NFL. And I just believe that, again, you know, everyone tells me about how Cam is so dedicated to football. You know, Lewis Riddick was losing his pants over this about, oh, he's so all ball because he was asked what he's going to do in the offseason, and he said work out, study the playbook, and throw the ball. Oh, he's so all ball. And we talked to Mario Cristobal, and Mario Cristobal was like, he's all ball, all ball. And I'm like, I have all these people telling me he's all ball. But now I see that he's got a media company, a management company. They've been shopping around a docuseries that nobody wants. So Tubi, the cheapest of all the channels, is picking it up. It's like, are you all ball? Or are you all Cam? And to me, those are two different things. And so while everybody tells me he's all ball, and all of that, I feel like I need to see him be all ball before I just admit to, okay, yes, this guy's the greatest, most confident winner of all time, which Titans Twitter has already decided.
Okay. My thing is this, Jared, is that I understand you want him to be all ball, and I think we all do. But I don't think there's anything that has shown us he's not all ball. I think, again, before we even knew of the docuseries, everything that he was saying, everything that he was doing, things that were being reported about him, he's all ball. That's who he is. He went through the combine process. That's all people talked about through the whole draft process. This guy is all ball. Now, whether you believe he should have been number one overall, that's a different conversation. But I think when talking about Cam Ward, I think it was the consensus. Yeah, this dude, he's damn sure not Shador, but this guy seems like he's all ball.
This feels very Shador-like.
No, it how? How?
Did he promote it?
Did Cam promote it?
Well, I think he just signed the deal yesterday.
No. That's not what I'm saying. Has Cam promoted it?
Not to my knowledge.
No, Cam hasn't promoted it.
It's a day and a half old.
No, I get that.
Yes, Cam has not promoted it, I guess. But again, was Shador, how's it different from Shador
because
doing his
Shador,
side stuff?
Because a blind person can see the difference, okay? Shador.
Because Trevor was on the show yesterday was comparing the two.
Again, just like you, I'm not scared to tell him the same thing. There's no comparison here. So to throw Trevor in here, I've said my I love Trevor, but I said my piece about some things that Trevor said as well. So
I am not going to back down. In the summer.
I'm not going to back down from
okay, all right. Now Willie got me going because you guys said this, and this drives me insane.
What? Say what?
The amount of people that hear something they don't want to hear, and they say, oh, well, it must be June. It must be a hard time to talk on the radio today.
Would you mention this during the season?
James asked me before I hopped on. David James asked what was on the show today. And the truth is, when I was putting the grid together today, I did want to talk about what Trevor said. I was actually, because Adam had told me that Derek was going to respond to what I had to say, I was going to take a cut from Derek and a cut from Trevor. And I was going to say, for everybody out there that thinks that just because you played the game that all those people, you know, have the same opinions, that's not true. Trevor played and he doesn't like it.
And his opinion is different from mine. Yeah,
agreed. But so I was, you know, I was going to put that in there. But there's so much stuff on the docket today between Willie's ridiculous take yesterday about UC Soros winning three cups in Edmonton and the fact that
he walked that back.
I did walk
just
it back.
The guy for the Edmonton Oilers in net after
Jared,
they lost the cup.
Will you at least mention Stephen A. Smith v. Memphis, Caitlin Clark,
and all that. I could not fit it into the grid today. I have so much to talk about.
If you thought it was that
big, you guys are sitting there being like, oh no, because we don't like it. It must be June radio.
So we're gonna pretend that sometimes in the summer there aren't some slow days. There are some slow days.
It's not a slow day.
Jared, I just have a request that you at least mention that I did walk back. I admit I got carried away with three would be a little high.
Give me a number, Willie.
At least one. I stand by that.
And I stand by listen, if whatever you thought of Cam Ward before you had this docuseries, I don't see how this docuseries changes it. And he's nothing like Shador Sanders. And this is no comparison to Will Levis and what he was trying to hawk last year.
Was he not all ball?
But he was hawking a perfume. Did he not bring that cologne to the facility? Thank you. I didn't see Cam bringing a DVD. Well, they don't use DVDs
anymore. Well, because Cam's thing's not out yet.
Blu-ray. That'll do it. Yeah. That'll do it for us today. Jared and Stoneman and Company coming up next.
Be loved, love all your people. Have a safe, blessed, wonderful hump day. Peace.